Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Dylan. Welcome to What You Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to chat with you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, so I just turned 51 actually this week. So I'm not one of those coy people that hides my age. I just turned 51 this week. I'm kind of a late in life writer. I didn't publish my first one till I was 40, and I have some paranormal romances until before this debut rom-com came out. But I grew up in Western New York in a very small town, which is actually featured in the book that we're about to talk about. And I currently live full-time in Florida with my high school sweetheart. We got married. We're one of those stories. We dated. He was my lab partner in biology. We went to prom together. We dated through college, even though we went to separate colleges. And then we got married after college. We have two children and two girls. They're not little anymore. One's 22 and one's 13. And we have two cats and a really badly dispositioned cockatiel. My background, actually, I was an English lit major in college and graduated, discovered that student loan bills were due and I couldn't really make ends meet as a writer. Mm-hmm. So I actually went to work for a Fortune 500 company and which shall remain nameless, and worked there for over a decade doing project planning for call centers and things like that. And I just was never really doing what I wanted to do, what I went to college to do, what I always wanted to be. So my husband and I sat down and we said, can we readjust life to allow me to pursue this dream of being a writer? And we did that. And about 2 years later, I got my first contract, which was, you know, again, when I was 40. So, and then it's just been just working hard at it since then.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I love this so much. It's like late in life. I think it's so relatable because I think in some ways, like, there's something of a society tells us, like, we should have a figure out 20. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, by my 30s, I just had already, like, 10-year career was already done, you know? And it's like, I'm entering my 40s this year, and I'm like, I'm on my third career, you know?
Like, cool. Yeah, I think we have to go through a lot of iterations in life. I mean, I guess some people are able to hit this dream early, but that definitely is not my story. So I agree with you. I feel like you have to go through some different iterations and some different reinventions of yourself sometimes.
Yeah. So talk to us about the reading and the writing. So were you always a romance reader? What was your romance reading journey look like for you?
Oh, good question. Okay. So I didn't start as a romance reader. I started as a horror reader, actually. I started with Stephen King. I was a huge Stephen King fan starting in probably middle school, and then carrying on really throughout my whole life. So horror, believe it or not, is one of my favorite genres, but also fantasy. And then I kind of branched over into romance. I would say probably when I graduated college, I started reading romance, and I'm very widely read. I love all genres. I love YA. Like I love a lot of fantasy. I read pretty much everything unless it starts out with a serial killer and a dead body, and then I'm out. But most everything else, I read a lot of. So I would say my romance journey started a little later. I experienced more of the other genres first and then kind of fell into romance. And I would say my first romance love was definitely Regency. Mm-hmm. I love me a good Regency romance. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I think Regency fits to English literature. It's like classics. It's like Jane Austen.
Yeah.
And all, you know, all its glory of the marriage.
Right?
So it's understandable. It makes sense. So it all connects the dots there.
Yeah.
So let's see. Let's talk about how sweet it is. Tell us the elevator pitch for the novel.
Okay, I will. Well, so How Sweet It Is, again, my love for horror, and really all genres, but I thought it would be really fun to have a horror writer as a hero. I've read a lot of rom-coms. I love rom-coms as well. I've read a lot of rom-coms. I've never really read anything that has a horror writer as a hero. And I thought that would be really fun. You know, it's really not what you expect. So I thought, you know, that would be really fun. So basically, it's a horror writer hero who needs a book launch done. And the person who was scheduled for the launch bailed out kind of at the last minute. And it's scheduled for Halloween. And Kate Sweet, who's my heroine, she's an event planner, but she's really known for her romances, her happily ever after romantic sort of events that she does, very sparkly and glittery and kind of a princess style, you know, wedding. So she's known more for that. But she's conscripted by her best friend to come in and help Drake with his horror writer book launch. And so that is really the elevator pitch. It's the queen of happily ever afters, which is kind of what she's known for in her business, meets the knight of nightmares. That's knight with a K-N-I-G-H-T. The knight of nightmares, which is the horror writer hero. So the two have to collude together to make this horror launch work. And that is the premise for How Sweet It Is.
I love this. And so what came first, the characters or the story or tropes?
I would say it was the story first. I knew that I wanted to have a Victorian in the novel. I knew I wanted to have a horror writer in the novel. And I knew I wanted it to be an opposites attract sort of trope. I just find that trope really fun and engaging, and I like to read it. So I thought it was really fun to do. And that was really what started the story. And then of course the horror writer hero came first, you know, being that I'm a Stephen King fan, he's kind of based really loosely, let's say very, very loosely on, you know, what if a really young, super hot Stephen King decided that he didn't know that he wanted to be trapped in that genre anymore. And what if you wanted to write like the complete opposite of horror, you know? So I thought that would be super fun. And then I thought, well, who would be like a good foil for that? Because then you have to kind of think of, you know, from a heroine perspective, like I wanted a strong, independent woman. I'm very, all my heroines, I pride myself on writing very strong, career-oriented women as my heroines, because I believe that that's all of them should be like that. So I try to emulate what I would like to read and what I try to, you know, share with my daughters. So that's really what started, I think, is the story itself kind of evolved around there. And definitely I had Drake as the horror writer shaped in my mind before I had Kate, but Kate came along quite quickly afterwards.
I love this. And so what was in the process of writing a rom-com as opposed to writing paranormal? Like, what are some of the differences or some of the biggest surprises you've encountered with this debut novel?
Yeah, that's a great question. It definitely was it's a different mindset to write a paranormal romance versus a rom-com, because your goal in a rom-com is to keep it happy and light. And, you know, your characters are definitely taking more center stage where, and I think they do in paranormal romance as well, but definitely you're working a lot more on, you know, other devices in a paranormal romance. And I found that my chapters were probably quicker in the paranormal romance versus the rom-com, which I didn't expect. I really expected the rom-com chapters to be a little snappier and quicker, but it didn't turn out that way. And plus I think I wrote it a little differently than I've written any other book, in that I did it in a dual point of view. So one chapter is Kate's, the event planner's point of view, and one chapter is Drake, the horror writer's point of view. So I had never done that in any of my published work before. I have some YAs that are out on submission that I've done that with, but I hadn't ever done that with any adult work that I had done before. So I was, I don't know, I'm not as much of a planner as I hope to be. Someday when I grow up and be a real writer, I'd like to be more of a planner, but at this point I'm more of a planster, like a panster with kind of a synopsis to go by, and then I just go from there.
Ooh, I love this. I love the fact that it's like, you know, you took some risks and you try something different. At the same time, like, you pay it off. And at the same time, you're acknowledging that you're like, you pants your way through it. So you're uncovering the story as you write it. So.
Yeah. I mean, I would like, I listened to your podcast with Abby Jimenez.
Yeah.
And my jaw dropped when I heard that she would plan the whole thing and write the whole thing in, I don't know, she said, I think 2 or 3 months or something amazing like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy smokes, that is definitely not how I do it. And that's okay. You know, every writer approaches the craft differently, but I am definitely more of a, so I have a synopsis definitely that I submit that you have to you know, to your editor. So I go by that for sure. That's my roadmap, but I surprise myself every day with, you know, what I had my characters do, and that wasn't quite planned. And it all turns out in general like the synopsis, but sometimes there's some turns and didos and different things that happen in there that I didn't expect, which is kind of fun. But yeah, Abby Jimenez, definitely my hat's off to her and that podcast. That was super fun to listen to how she does it, because it's so, so foreign to how I do it.
Yeah, I think I love asking that question. I used to ask it a lot. It's just like the plotty and fancy, because it's like every person has a unique system, unique format. And like, to be honest, like, it's just like, it just, the whole point of writing is just uncovering a story. It's like you're an investigator trying to figure out what's the mystery. Like, what do these characters want to do? What's happening in the story? Like, how do you move forward? And sometimes, you know, you've been planning it all, and then the characters are like, oh, hell no, we're not doing that, you know? So it's like uncovering that hell no moment. It's part of the process. So
it's so true. It's so true. I hadn't anticipated when I wrote the synopsis out in the first place that the secondary characters would step up as big as they did. Mm-hmm. And how sweet it is. So that was a really nice surprise. Like Drake's brothers, like when I hear like early, you know, the reviews, everyone seems to really have fallen in love with Drake's brothers, which is a good thing, because there's book 2 and book 3 coming and they both get their stories in those books. But I hadn't really anticipated them stepping up as much as they did and making the impact that they did, you know, on the reader. So I couldn't be more pleased and happy about it. And also I didn't anticipate, it was kind of a little bit of a love letter to my hometown, Wellsville, which is the setting for the book. It's a small town romance, really, also, in addition to being a rom-com. So, yeah, I hadn't anticipated so much of my Wellsville heritage kind of to, you know, plop itself down on the page, but then it did, which was nice, because I wrote some of it and edited some of it during pandemic, and I wasn't, you know, it was kind of my virtual way to visit Wellsville when I couldn't visit Wellsville.
Oh, I love this. So let's see. So start some book recommendations. What have been some couple of books you may have read you want to know listeners to pick up?
Well, I'm kind of fortunate being an author with Forever and Grand Central Publishing and Hachette as well, because I get to see advanced reader copies of the books, as I know you do too, before they hit the shelves. And I had read Farrah Rochon's first book, originally, The Boyfriend Project. And I was so excited when I got sent an ARC for her second one, The Dating Playbook. And that comes out in August. And let me tell you, I don't know if you've read that one yet.
It's on my list. So tell me all about it. It's like, I'm dying.
Oh my God. I'm so done. It's so good. First of all, I love her writing anyway. So that to me was like a slam dunk. I knew I was going to love this book, but I was super excited to get this story, the next one, because I love Samaya's story so much.
Yes.
And I love the female friendships. Like, I just, you know, puppy heart love with all the female friendships. And then Taylor's story was the next one. I was like, oh, nice. And I didn't know she was going to bring in football. And I love football. I'm a huge football fan. So she manages to bring in, you know, it's a football player who's the hero and he's trying to get back into the NFL, and Taylor is conditioning him. And I won't tell you anymore, but that's basically the premise of the book. And it's so scrumptious. Like, I love, love, love this book. I have, I think, 10 pages left and then I'm done. And I cannot recommend this enough. That was super fun.
Gosh, I can't wait. I love it. So tell us where you can find me online.
So online, you can find me. My website is www.dylannewton.com. And my author page is Dylan Newton Author on Facebook. And it's Author Dylan Newton on Instagram. I'm not on Twitter, so I kind of stick to those kind of main categories. I'm also like a Pinterest junkie, so you can also find me on Pinterest as well. But yeah, I'm super active on Instagram and Facebook, and I love it when people drop me notes. You can email me. My email is hi Dylan at dylannewton.com. But I love to hear from any readers.
I love this. Thank you, Dylan, for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Laura. It was so much fun to be here. I appreciate that.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for LibreFM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.